The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian magazine, North Carolina History for Students. Beginning the fall 2018 edition, volume 58, number one, produced by the North Carolina Museum of History, and this issue is Travel Your State, North Carolina's Three Regions. And we'll begin with a letter from the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association's program coordinator, Jessica Pratt. Hey, y'all. Have you ever heard the saying, from Murphy to Manio? Hint, there may be a poster hanging in your classroom with two characters named Murphy and Manio. The towns of Murphy in the western part of the state and Manio in the east are considered to be the farthest ends of our state. When someone says, from Murphy to Manio, it's another way of saying from one end of the state to the other. As a junior historian, you're part of a larger association of history clubs across the state, or from Murphy to Manio. Last school year, there were 8,000 members of the Tar Heel Junior Historian Association. These history clubs started in 1953 and have been inspiring students to study and document state and local history for 65 years. So you see, junior historians don't just study history, they make history too. Thanks for being part of the club. I can't wait to know what you discover about yourself and your state this year. On the cover of the magazine, there's a photograph with the caption, "No matter where you travel in North Carolina, there's one thing you'll always find, kids having fun. And that fun often includes water, whether it's sliding or tubing down rivers and streams, splashing into lakes, or body surfing the waves of the beach. Water is a big part of our history, a big part of our natural beauty, and a big part of our vacation fun. Here, some Tar Heel kids savor the last days of summer at Falls Lake State Recreation Area, Rolling View, in Durham." First article, an introduction to North Carolina's three regions, is called What Reminds You of Home by Jennifer Culberson Wood, who is an Alamance County native who grew up in Raleigh, married a man from Edenton, and raised a son with footprints across the mountain, Piedmont, and coastal regions of North Carolina. Wood has made North Carolina culture the focus of her freelance writing career and is currently finishing her first novel. What says North Carolina to you? When I was a little girl, my grandfather had a vine beside the house that grew great, big, juicy scuppernong grapes. I would watch in steady anticipation until the end of August, when the fruit was ready for us to gather. It took just about all my little girl world power to wait it out. One time I even tried the grapes before they were ready. Take it from me, you do not want to eat a scuppernong grape before it ripens. White buckets left by the steps of the kitchen door was my sure tip-off that it was grape picking day. Once those buckets were set out, I could think of nothing else. All day I would try to keep busy by helping my grandmother with chores while bouncing back and forth to check and see if my grandfather had finished his farm work so we could go on and walk down to the vine together. After supper, we'd collect our buckets and walk hand in hand down the path where the grapevine glinted in the late afternoon light. As we stood there watching the day's last shadows fall over bales of hay, my grandfather would pluck the first grape, sample it, and declare, "Yep, tastes like North Carolina." That same scuppernong vine still grows on in what is now my father's farm in Alamance County. And even though I'm all grown up now, no matter where I am, if I see, smell, or taste a scuppernong grape, I always think of my grandfather and say to myself, "Yep, that's North Carolina." I'm a writer, and the best thing about my job is the opportunity I have to share my home. All across North Carolina, I find tastes, sights, smells, sounds, and places that welcome and make me think, Yep, that's home. So let's go. North Carolina is divided into three regions. We'll start in the mountains, cruise on to the Piedmont, and end our journey on the coastal plain. Mountain region. Brevard is a great town in the western part of our state. You can shop for toys at O.P. Taylor's, look for white squirrels, slide on sliding rock, the coolest natural water slide in the Pisgah National Forest. Plus, on the way there, you get to drive by the Mountain Research Center. This is where the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Sciences does sunflower and wildflower research. So when those are in bloom, it makes for an explosion of color with a mountain backdrop that cannot be beat. Take a hike, for natural beauty abounds in our state, and the Hickory Nut Falls hike at Chimney Rock State Park is a great short hike with a beautiful reward at the end. More chocolate, please. North Carolina has gotten really good at this treat, and Asheville is the perfect place to sample some of our finest. Get started at French Broad Chocolate, and then move on up to Asheville Chocolate. If you still haven't had your fill, hit up the Chocolate Lounge or Kilwin's Chocolate Fudge and Ice Cream. The Piedmont. On a carousel, I still think it's fun to spend an afternoon riding around in circles. Because I was born in Burlington and grew up in Raleigh, I am partial to the carousels in these fair cities. Burlington even holds an annual festival for their historic carousel. And you have two to choose from in Raleigh, at Pullen Park and John Chavis Memorial Park. A Greensboro lunch counter. This visit should be on every North Carolinian's must-visit list. The Triad is home to the International Civil Rights Center and Museum, where four young men staged a nonviolent protest at the F.W. Woolworth lunch counter in 1960. Ride the rails. The North Carolina Railway Museum is in New Hill, and they have an open-air passenger car, antique trains, and real working trains, which all make for a fun afternoon of alternate transportation exploration. The Coastal Plain. No New Bern. Sip Pepsi right on the corner where Caleb Bradham first thought up the drink, and then head over to Tryon Palace for a tour. If you're in town at the right time of year, you might just catch sight of the incredible Tryon Palace John Canoe Troop. Make a historic pilgrimage to the town of Edenton. Founded November 6, 1712, this lovely little town served as North Carolina's first colonial capital, and Edenton has protected, maintained, and preserved the original and authentic. Make sure to make your way to the 1767 Chowan County Courthouse, and then take a walk out to the courthouse green for a breathtaking view of Edenton Bay. A quieter coast. If you head away from the bustle and hustle of the beach, you can spend the afternoon watching Core Sound cormorants take flight or catch a glimpse of the wild horses known as the original keepers of Hog Island running free. I've found that around most corners of North Carolina and inside many a conversation, there is something new to be found and learned from one another. I hope I gave you some new North Carolina places to think about exploring. The story I shared at the beginning featured the Scuppernong grape, which just so happens to be our official state fruit. You might love strawberries or trout fishing or panning for gold, but maybe you have something unique, something new to talk about that makes North Carolina unique. Be confident in the fact that those stories are valuable and what keeps our great state interesting. Every single day, someone new moves here, from another state or another part of the world. And when they do, they bring their own distinct culture with them, enriching our state in new and vibrant ways. It is through centuries of weaving our stories together, both the ones handed down through generations and the brand new ones, that we keep our state growing strong. The next time someone asks you where you were from, I hope you'll take the opportunity to tell them what you love about your home and why it's special to you. Here are the captions of the photographs accompanying this article. The author's grandfather, Alan J. Culberson, photographed in the early 1950s on his farm in Snow Camp to celebrate his Alamance County Young Farmer of the Year Award. The family's Scuppernong grapevines still growing strong. The author is a young girl, enjoys a farm lunch with her grandmother, Flora Bell Culberson. In the early 1900s, the United States Department of Agriculture worked with farmers to develop orchards for commercial markets. It hired more than 50 artists to produce technically accurate drawings for its publications. In 1905, artist Amanda Newton, born 1860, died 1943, went to Roanoke Island to create this engraving of Scuppernong grapes, which became North Carolina's state fruit in 2001. A family emerges from the subway observation point on the Outcroppings Trail, a 499-step alternative to the elevator on the way to the top of Chimney Rock. Visitors enjoy the fantastic view from the top. And costumed interpreters at historic Edenton, the state's first colonial capital, can lead you on a wide range of tours, including the James Iredell House, the historic 1767 Chowan County Courthouse, the Cupola House, and the 1886 Roanoke River Lighthouse. There's also a sidebar article, Where Are We From? Many different people call North Carolina home. Immigrants from other colonies and from across the Atlantic Ocean poured into North Carolina during the mid-1700s, adding to the mixture of people already here. English, Scots-Irish, Highland Scots, Germans, Africans, and Native Indian groups all possessed skills, knowledge, and religious beliefs that combined to mold the developing colony. Going from west to east, starting in the mountain region, are depicted Scots-Irish and Germans, Moravians and Germans. In the Piedmont, Highland Scots, Scots-Irish, and Welsh. In the coastal plains, English and African, French Huguenots, and French Huguenots and Swiss, all in different parts of North Carolina. Next, Tar Heel Junior Historian Association Club saves pulling carousel. Do you ever think, what can I do? I'm just a kid. The answer is a lot, especially if you're a Tar Heel Junior historian. Just look at how the Martin 76ers from Raleigh's Martin Middle School saved a part of Piedmont history in 1978. The students saw that the old carousel in nearby Pullen Park had fallen into disrepair, and they flew into action. They talked to parents, teachers, and other adults. Club President Joey Morris even gave a passionate speech to the Raleigh City Council. Eventually, history lovers came together to raise money to restore the carousel to its original condition. Today, thanks to junior historians from the past, we can ride this restored historical carousel into the future. Two photographs with this article, and their captions are, Students from the Martin 76ers pose with their winning project. And the Pullen Park Carousel, circa 1900, is one of the earliest and best surviving works of the Pennsylvania Carousel Company, founded by Gustav A. Dentzel. It features 52 hand-carved animals, including horses, ostriches, cats, giraffes, pigs, and even a goat. Next article is Wish You Were Here, The Mountain Region, by Roanne Bishop, who is the director of the Mountain Gateway Museum and Heritage Center in Old Fort. You can learn more about the museum at www.mgmnc.org. Here's some fast facts about the mountain region. Its location is in the western part of the state, and the number of counties in the mountain region are 24. Its largest city is Asheville, with a population of 90,765. Average temperatures, 30 degrees in winter, 65 degrees in summer. Its size is about 6,000 square miles, and its soil is rocky brown loam. It's known for forests, paper, textiles, mining, old-time and bluegrass music, folk crafts, tourism, skiing, apples, and Christmas trees. It's part of the Appalachian Mountains, the oldest mountain range in the United States. includes part of the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Great Smoky Mountains, and the Black Mountains. Here's a weird fact about the mountain region. Rocks in the mountain region range from 400 million to 1 billion years old. I was born and raised in the mountains of western North Carolina, and this is the land I love. Over the years, I've lived, worked, and gone to school in other places, but the Blue Ridge and Great Smokies have always beckoned me back. Their gently rounded peaks, eroded by both time and the elements, offer me a welcoming embrace. The breeze and bird song within their ancient forests help calm my restless mind. And the sounds of their rushing rivers, waterfalls, and rippling streams soothe my soul. Here's where I find peace and contentment. Here is my home. Three or more generations of my family on both sides have lived, worked, raised their children, and been laid to rest in these mountains. I too will one day be buried here in a hillside plot, but there's comfort in knowing that in family there is continuity of life. The early mountain settlers, for whom life was hard and often short, had to become self-sufficient or die. Scrappy, stubborn, and strong-willed, they learned to make or grow whatever they needed. They passed down their hard-earned skills and knowledge to their sons and daughters. Then, in turn, they passed those things on down to their children and their children's children. Thus, traditions were born. Those traditions, still evident in a hand-sewn quilt, a split-rail fence, a prized pickling recipe, or a beautifully built barn, continue today, as do the natural beauty and serenity of western North Carolina's mountains. These things, in part, are what bring modern travelers and settlers to the area. Population growth, development, industrialization, pollution, and other factors have impacted both our mountain environment and our people. However, both have endured and will continue to do so. The opportunities to experience western North Carolina's mountains and its traditions are limitless. State and federal forests, local and state parks, recreation area, campgrounds, adventure companies, family farms, and many other businesses offer chances to hike, bike, boat, fish, swim, canoe, kayak, rock climb, zip line, or enjoy many other outdoor activities, and either individually or as a group. Such activities are both good for those seeking exercise, some solitude, or a bit of both. Much of the mountaineer's history and heritage has been preserved in museums, historic sites, festivals, and other events around the region. Each one is worth a visit. You might find your home here, too. The photographs accompanying this article: clouds breaking up after a rainy morning in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which are among the oldest in the world. The Cherokee Indians referred to the mountains as Sakonagas, which means blue. The mountain region is home to the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. At the Oconaluftee Indian Village, you can follow the trails and step back in time to the 1760s. A Cherokee cultural expert will lead you on an interactive journey through Cherokee lifestyle and history. Learn more at Visit Cherokee, CHEROKEENC.com. And an accompanying article, First in Forestry. Many North Carolina license plates declare that we are first in flight to celebrate the Wright brothers' first powered flight on December 17, 1903 at Kitty Hawk. But did you know that our state was also first in forestry? In 1895, German Carl Schenck, a Ph.D. in forestry science, came to North Carolina to work as the forester at the Biltmore Estate near Asheville. He discovered that many young men were eager to serve as apprentices to learn these scientific methods. In 1898, with the permission of Biltmore owner George W. Vanderbilt, Schenck set up the Biltmore Forest School in some abandoned farm buildings and began to teach. This was the first formal school for the scientific study of forestry in the United States. In 1914, after Vanderbilt's death, his widow sold 87,000 acres of Biltmore forest land to the federal government. Schenck designed an initial plan that in 1916 became Pisgah National Forest, North Carolina's first national forest. Though Schenck returned to Germany in 1952, he was awarded an honorary Doctor of Forestry degree from North Carolina State University. From the Activities Just for Fun section, postcards from the past. When was the last time you wrote a letter or sent a card? In 2018, many people's mailboxes, the real ones at their house or apartment, are filled with junk mail or spider webs. Most people communicate daily by text or email. But did you know that old letters and postcards are artifacts? Artifacts are objects that are made, used, or shaped by human hands. They tell us information about life in the past. Yes, they help historians learn about life in the past. People have written postcards since the 1840s. In the early 1900s, improved railroads and affordable automobiles allowed people to travel more. Postcards were good ads for tourism. Try this. First, pick a historical place in your town, county, or region, or a place in North Carolina that you would like to visit. Two, design a postcard that shows why it's special. Three, write a short description on the back telling what it is and why it's important. Four, save it or send it. Why write postcards? Because words typed on a phone or computer look the same, but your handwriting is unique. It's part of your identity. Scientists say that writing things by hand, especially in cursive, is good for our brains. Postcard messages don't require electricity or batteries. A beautiful postcard is something to save and collect. Postcards make really cool bookmarks, and a postcard you write or receive can become part of your history. Here is one of the Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine article contest winners. This is from the elementary division. Bethany Crawford wrote A Mountain Mystery. Bethany, as a member of Seed History Seekers, Garner Area Homeschoolers, Renee Wimberly and Jeannie Crawford Advisors, was winner of the 2018 Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine article contest, elementary division. The Brown Mountain Lights have puzzled weathermen, scientists, and archaeologists for more than 100 years. Most witnesses of the Brown Mountain Lights say that they are a pale white light with a halo. They were seen to disappear three or four times and then disappear for 20 minutes and then repeat the cycle. The lights are generally more active after a rain as the atmosphere is clearing. The Brown Mountain Lights are seen in the northwestern part of Burke County, about 12 miles northwest of Morgantown. In October 1913, a member of the United States Geological Survey was sent to Brown Mountain to try to figure out what the lights are. The report back was that the lights were nothing more than train headlights seen over the mountain. However, after the flood of 1916, the tracks were washed out and no trains were running, but sightings of the lights continued. So that explanation was wrong. In 1922, North Carolina state senators sent out another set of geological surveyors who spent 2 weeks near Brown Mountain to observe the lights. These surveyors discovered that the first published sighting of the lights was September 23, 1913, in the Charlotte Daily Observer. Fishermen from the Morganton Fishing Club were first to declare that they had seen the lights 2 years previously, but they had been laughed at by others. B.S. Gaither said he was the first to see the mysterious lights in 1908. The fishermen reported that the lights could be seen above the horizon from Rattlesnake Knob at 7:30 p.m. and again at 10 p.m. The lights were reported to be smaller than a full moon, but larger than a star, and they were very red. The Brown Mountain lights go up a short distance, and then they go out in less than a minute. They don't always appear in the same place, and they are never seen on Brown Mountain, only from other mountains, and appear to be over Brown Mountain. The lights appear in a 12-mile range from Brown Mountain to South Mountain. These lights are important to the mountain region of North Carolina because of the legends that they bring to the culture of the West. As people have tried to explain the lights, they have considered many scientific explanations, such as St. Elmo's Fire, Will o' the Wisp, and Mirage. They have also considered not-so-scientific explanations, such as moonshiners carrying torches, American Indian women looking for warriors, and a pioneer ghost looking for his family. In addition to the legendary stories, famous songs have been created about the lights, such as Brown Mountain Light, recorded and written by North Carolina natives Lulu Bell and Scotty. The same song was later re-recorded by Vern Gosden and later than that by the Kingston Trio. The lights have been featured on the TV shows The X-Files and Mystery Hunters, in the film Alien Abduction, and in the novel Speaking in Bones. This mountain mystery has puzzled people for over 100 years. Next, take a closer look. Look at the old photos here and throughout the magazine. What do they tell you about how and where people in our state used to live? Today, we snap endless photos of ourselves and others. What might future historians learn from our photographs? What will they learn about you by looking at all your selfies? Can you imagine any of your photographs as future museum artifacts? Here's one. Top of Hawksbill, Burke County, June 17, 1912. Tourists have been drawn to the scenic majesty of the North Carolina mountains for more than a century. Early visitors clambered over rocks and hiked up hills wearing the stiff, restrictive clothing common around 1900. These hikers seem a bit more reasonably dressed for their 1912 climb to the Hawksbill Mountain rock outcrop. Hawksbill is still part of a popular hiking trail today, but tourists are now warned for their safety to watch their footing, stop children from wandering, and keep dogs on a leash. Children on a Fair Ride, North Carolina State Fair, Raleigh, Wake County, 1962. To modern viewers, this image might seem nostalgic, evoking fun memories of carnival rides, but historians look beneath the surface to place it into the context of the time in which it was taken, in the midst of the Civil Rights Movement. Both white and African American children are enjoying the ride together. But this photo was taken 3 years before the fair abolished a separate department for Negro home demonstration and 4-H exhibits. Black and white fairgoers could not exhibit and compete in the same divisions until 1965. Sally Sawnuke, Swain County, 1908. What is that blurry object at the top of this image? We believe it's part of the photographer's hand and arm accidentally captured as he uncovered the camera's lens to expose the photo. Asheville photographer Ignatius Brock went along with Museum of History founder Fred Olds in 1908 as he purchased baskets for the Hall of History from members of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. This photo is of Sally Sawnuke and her son, Kane. We've run out of time for today's episode of Independent Living. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. If you have any comments, concerns, or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long until next time.